Tell the fellow, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. Tell the fellow, I'm bearing fruit in every good work. Tell somebody, and I'm increasing the knowledge of God. Say, I am bearing fruit in every good work. Tell the fellow, I am the salt of the earth. And I am the light of the world. Say it again. Say, I am the salt of the earth. Tell the person, you are the salt of the earth. If indeed you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right. What I want to start to teach today, all right? It's a continuation again of what we have been saying. You know, we started with the High Calling series. Then from there, we went into the Kingdom Life. Just a kind of break. That's what we want to do. So switch into something else. It's still actually the same series. We are still saying about the same thing. And I believe that is the mind of the Spirit in this season for us to emphasize these things that we have been talking about, that the Kingdom of God and the fact that we must live by that kingdom. Let me establish something to you again. You know, we were saying the other time, I remember our brother Okemuti and I were discussing this matter of grace versus lawlessness. As Christians, we are not under the law of Moses. Do you understand? Yes, that's a matter of fact. Let me just explain the principle. I just like starting from there. Sometimes you ask these kind of questions. Are we supposed to keep the Ten Commandments? If you are asking that, are we supposed to take the Ten Commandments and say, I didn't break number one, I did not break number two, I didn't break number three, the answer is no, we are not supposed to do that. Do you follow what I'm saying? But the only thing people don't realize that because we are not supposed to keep the Ten Commandments doesn't mean we are supposed to break the Ten Commandments. Can you see what I'm saying? The commandments we have, we are guided not by the commandments of Moses, but by the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is superior to the laws of Moses. And while keeping the law of Christ, we find ourselves performing some of the commandments, many of the commandments of Moses, but we are not primarily guided by the commandments of Moses. What people do not realize is that Moses did not have 10 commandments. He had 613 commandments. Do you still want to keep? The first 10 is what we call the 10 commandments. Those are the ones that you find on those tablets. Those are the ones we all know. All right, thou shalt have no other God before me. All right, we know those ones. Thou shalt not make for yourself a graven image. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's anything. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. All those commandments, those 10. But Moses said much more than that. Your hairstyle, many of you here, you are breaking the law of Moses. Moses' commandment, you can't shave the corners of your hair. People don't know this. They think about Moses, just saying, the commandments of Moses, my father, they are great. There are many. I don't want to use the word great. I would draw great. Let me use the word there are many. Many of the materials we have in the market that we buy and wear, they break the law of Moses. The law of Moses did not allow you to weave a material with wool and cotton at the same time. And when you say, I've seen churches that say they want to keep the Sabbath. They make me laugh because going to church for them is the breaking of the Sabbath. Most of their churches are more than a Sabbath day's journey. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? See, Moses did not have 10 commandments. He had 613. I didn't count. I heard from those who counted. But at least I know a lot. Now, having said that, I said earlier, it doesn't mean we are now breaking the commandments of Moses as a habit. And I say, why are you coveting your neighbor's wife? I'm not under the law. That one, you're under destruction. Don't worry. You're not under the law. You're under damage. You're about to get damaged. Now, what are we keeping? We are keeping the law of Christ. We are keeping what? The law of Christ. I just feel I'm stuck here. But let me quickly recommend one of the earliest messages I preached here when we started this ministry work, teaching on a regular basis every Saturday. The second series we did is titled Understand the New Covenant. I recommend that you go and get those messages and listen to them because, I mean, about five or six, I'm not very sure the length. But now, I'm just going to talk about 10 minutes on it and I'll be done. But please get our School of Bible Exegesis series also. We have different ones. There's a title that dealt with all of these things. Talk about priesthood, offerings, commandments, stuff like that. Just get the series. You will learn a lot, okay? It's good to have a good understanding, all right? Now, I want to just explain a particular principle here. They came to the Lord Jesus at the time. I'm talking about this issue of law. Now, let me back up so that we know where we are. We're talking about the kingdom of God living as citizens of the kingdom. Remember that? Yes, that's what we're talking about. And I was explaining the principle that our brother Okemute and I were talking about grace and versus lawlessness. Yes, you discussed that on radio. Grace versus lawlessness. When we're chatting about it, these things came up again. I said, Christians, we are not under the law of Moses. That's what I was talking about. But we're under the law of Christ. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize so that people will understand is the issue about the law of Moses. Let me say something to you. The law of Moses was when God wrote out of the spirit of himself, that is, out of his spirit, his nature, and he wanted to walk with people. He brought forth things that we call the laws of Moses. And those things were the terms of the covenant he made with Israel on Mount Sinai. Quickly, let me drop it. You are not part of that covenant. Your own covenant is the one he made with the whole earth, with anyone who will believe on the cross of Calvary. Not on Mount Sinai, but on the cross of Calvary. Anyone who believes enters into another covenant. Every covenant has terms. Every agreement you go into has terms. Anytime you go to a hotel, you want to stay overnight, they give you a piece of paper to fill. Most of the time, you just sign and then you go. You don't read. They actually have terms inside there. They have conditions in some hotels in which they can throw you out without refunding your money. And you sign it when you go in. You rent a house. There are terms. So every agreement has what? Terms. The terms of the covenant that God made with Israel were the things that Moses wrote for them, and they all promised to keep it. And if they kept those laws, God would bless them. Now, I'm explaining a principle here. What did God do about that? What he did was to take of his nature. Are you getting my point? The way he will want things done, from that template, he began to write things that the people of Israel should keep. Many of those things had their reasons. Some of them were types. I'll just give one particular group. Their offerings. Their offerings were types of what Jesus will come to do for us. They had their sin offering. They had their guilt offering. Are you getting me? They had different kinds. They had their laws of first fruits. They had their laws of tithing. They had the law of gleaning. I always like to drop the law of gleaning. What does the law of gleaning mean? If you're harvesting your field, you don't harvest the corners. So if you have a field, it's four corners, all the four corners and the edges, you don't touch. So if you have the best crop growing there, you don't touch. If you touch, you have broken the law of God. And when you're harvesting, you go in rows. And once you cross a row, you don't come over it a second time. If the best piece of corn you have for the day fell down while you were harvesting, you were not allowed to pick it. You left it behind. Those are the laws of Moses. Now, I'm trying to look at an issue here. So each of these commandments had a reason. And God used to give the reason. There are two levels of reasons. The level of reason he gave Israel and the spiritual reason which is based upon his personal character. Now, this is what I'm trying to explain. Using that law of greenness as an example. God says, why do you do like that? So that there are people amongst you. He said, the poor you will have amongst you always. There will always be people that don't have their own land, who don't have their own money. They could not plant when you were planting because they didn't have land, all right? Or they were stupid. There are different reasons why people are poor. Some of them wouldn't plant. Now, no matter what the reason is why the fellow is poor, God says, let him eat. So what do? When you finish harvesting, they follow. Go and read the story of Ruth, for those who don't know. The story of Ruth, how the Ruth used to get food when Naomi and her came back from Moab. There was nothing to eat. The woman came back, you know, she said, I went full. I came back how? How? Empty. So when she came back, there was no food to eat. So Ruth will go out every day and go behind the harvesters and join the gleaners. Go and read the story. So what do? The poor will go. When you are a rich man, you have your own field, your harvesters are harvesting. The poor will wait behind. And anything that falls down, they pick. Anything that falls down, they pick. And it was a commandment God gave them so that the poor wouldn't go hungry. That was the reason he gave them. What is that reason in his own nature? The reason in his nature, in his character, is that, you know, he said like this. He said, God loved the stranger amongst you in that he provided for him food and clothing and shelter. That was his way of providing for people because he loved them. Do you understand my point? So that was a manifestation. What am I saying? That law of gleaning was a manifestation of the love character of God. There's a reason why I'm explaining that. So this is how I tell people in modern day, how do we use it? I adapt that law. I'm not under the law of Moses. I adapt the law. You use a phone. After a while, you've used your portion. Give the rest to somebody. It's not only you that will use a Galaxy Note. Many people want to use it. They can't buy it. You that God has given the ability to buy it, buy it. After 1 year, 18 months, whatever length of time, when your stomach is full, you are satisfied, while it's still good, remove your SIM card. Hand it to somebody else who wants to use that quality of phone but can't buy it himself. It's the law of gleaning. That's where I practice it. You buy a nice suit, you want your portion. It doesn't have to develop a hole before you drop it. This is how you'll be poor all your life. Do you get my point? And the more God advances you, the more you should do this thing. It gets to a point, you do it with your car. It gets to a point, listen to me, you do it with a house. You built a house, when God blessed you, level one blessing. Then one day God showered one kind of bag of blessing on your head. When you look and say, why am I living in this house? It's too small. Then you build a bigger one. You don't have to sell the old one. There is a man who has served God for a very long time. God didn't give him the capacity to build his own house. Call him and say, oh boy, come. I see you have worked hard in the vineyard of God. Here are the keys. The Lord just gave you a house. It's called the law of gleaning. Tell somebody I can do it. Tell somebody I can do it. Tell somebody I will do it. My children will do it. It's a sign of divine blessing. Are you getting my point? Now, start practicing it now. Once I went to repair a generator, one of the generators we used to use those days. So, this thing was getting too frequent. And for me, once you start repairing a generator frequently, it's a sign that it needs to be replaced. So, when the boy just knew what was wrong with it, I said, I don't want to repair it. Forget it. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to buy another one. He said, what about this one? He said, okay, how much will I sell this? So we finished haggling on the price. He finally agreed on the price. When we agreed, I said, now I dash you. I said, if I sell it to you, God will punish me. I said, some things you're not supposed to do them. The God bless yous were plenty. You need such God bless yous in your life. I'm about to digress. Say, he has started. Some people, when Satan wants to punish them, you know what he does? You know, the Bible says that Satan incited David to go and number Israel. There are times when Satan wants to punish people, he incites them. How does he do it? He will tell them, don't give somebody your old clothes, though. They will use it to do jazz against you. Are you seeing what I'm saying? That's how Satan punishes the children of God. He will teach them a wrong doctrine. That your fine suit, when you married, you were size 50. Your wife fed you for 1 year, you became size 52. Now she's fed you another year, you are now size 54. What about the old suits? They are beautiful. The problem was just that you got married. You understand my point? And now your stomach is changing dimension. Nothing wrong with the suits. They are still hanging in your wardrobe. Why? Somebody lied to you that if you give it to somebody, they will use it to juju against you. The devil has used it to cap you at a particular level of breakthrough. You don't realize it. Wrong doctrines deny you of your reward. No, that's what Paul wrote. People don't realize it. When you believe what is wrong, it doesn't let you do good. Go and read my little book, The Blessing. if you can't see the paper copy, download from our website. It's free. kwm.com.ng. Go to the book section. You can just download as a PDF file. Small PDF file. I explain that principle in there. There is small, small, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you that you need in life. Don't let Satan deny you of it. I've seen people before. There was one man. God, his own was bad. Suits he wore immediately after NYSC. By now, he was a senior manager in a bank. They were still inside his wardrobe. Listen, human beings, even if the human beings use it to do jazz, let me tell you something, the rat will also use it to do jazz. That jazz is coming one way or the other. Let's forget that one. Nobody can jazz you. Nobody. There is no enchantment against Jacob. You've not read that thing before? We talk to this African annoying mentality. Your old clothes, they say they'll use it because you watch too many films. When you won't read the Bible, you are watching film. Mama G has now connived now with KOK. Two of them have now deceived you, saying that they took a man's cloth and used it. Listen, I've told you before here, quote it. I'm a man of God. When you want to fight the devil, say, Pastor Banky said, it's the word of God, don't worry, it works. That I said, nobody can use anything you give out with the goodness of your heart, the love of God in you. They can never use it to do evil against you. Materially, they can't. Those material things, they can't. You give somebody money, if a witch eats your food, her ability to witch has just been reduced. If it is a second time, it has gone down more. When she starts coming regularly, her witching against you will never work. So if there are witches in your neighborhood, start doing party. This one that you close your door every Christmas is where all the witches will kill you one day. You hear what I said? I'm not joking. No, go and tell your neighbor. So you close your door, you will soon die. If you don't, the witch's neighborhood, you don't open your gates. When your wife delivers, don't say no. If they come now, they will not cast a spell against that child. It's there. What else do I say? It's a lie. Open your gate wide. But rice is not too expensive. By the time you cook a whole bag, the whole street go chop. Tell everybody, come. Every witch that eats that day has just resigned. Whether she wants it or not wants it, chops that food. Make sure that you bless it in everybody's hearing. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. For your abundant supply. Grace upon us for eating this food today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Any witch we chop up, you go church. Don't worry. You know. So I knew where I was. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So what's the point I'm making? Now I digress into that. Trotton said that there was a law of gleaning, and that there was a reason in the character of God why he gave it to us. Alright? And I was trying to explain the application of it, my own personal application. What do I mean by personal application? Having looked at that spirit, the spirit behind that law, every law has a spirit behind it. When I understood the spirit behind that law, I brought it into modern day, and that's how I apply it. That's what I was trying to explain. My digression was that telling you that don't let any evil spirit deny you of your blessing. Every time you cooperate with the spirit of God in anything, there is a blessing that you release into your life. Because cooperating means that you are aligning yourself with divine character. And divine character always produces a blessing on the earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say there? So you see that when God gave them the law of gleaning, it was one of the laws of Moses, but it was based on the character of God. Now listen to this. Under the new covenant, that character remains the same. The law may change. For example, I can decide to glean my field to the edges now in the New Testament. You say, why? Simple reason. One, I'm not under the law of Moses. But again, because I'm under the law of Moses, I'm allowed to apply the spirit of God, which is just caring for the poor in the society. So what if I finish gleaning, I finish harvesting my field entirely, then I go to my house and I have my door open 24 hours for any poor to come and collect? Can you see? I have broken the law of Moses, but I have kept the law of God. Do you get the point? Sometimes people say that you are cursed with a curse if you don't tithe. I want nonsense. It's nonsense. The only fellow who said that was Malachi, and he was talking to those who were under the law as they were breaking the laws of Moses. Read my book, Grace to Prosper. At the end, I talked about this doctrine of tithing. And I said, the New Testament tither is the cheerful and generous giver. You cannot, as a Christian, be quoting to God that you've tithed. The devourer cannot come after you because you didn't calculate one nonsense 10%. Become a walking calculator. Walking accountant. Somebody say, bring the whole tithe. What is the whole tithe? The whole tithe is when, even if somebody dashes you money, you go and check the, dashes you a shirt, you go and check the value of the shirt and pay 10% on it. Listen, the law of tithing was given to the children of Israel. He said that they may learn to fear their God. It was a training. When my wife and I first got married, we sat down and said, how do we handle finances? We said, this certain percentage we must give out on a regular basis. It was so that we'll be in agreement with giving. We're just married. We ran our lives differently before. Both of us are now joining to do things in common. So we had to have an agreement. Two cannot work together except they are agreed. So we said, this we give regularly for the preaching of the kingdom. This is the percentage we give for honoring people. This we use to give to the poor. When I say honoring people now, we give to our parents. Somebody has been a blessing and the person is not a preacher. We give to the fellow. Preachers we put under the category of money we use to preach the gospel. And we put percentages on each one of them. Do you know, at the end of the first year, we wiped out the percentage. Do you know why? We had overdone it. I don't know whether I get my point. If you say, okay, give 15%, we are giving that. But now we don't have such percentages in the house anymore, really. Because the giving has become a habit. In the same manner, God gave the children of Israel some laws. He told them, this is how you will do with a tenth of whatever you earn. He said, so as to teach you the fear of God. There was a spirit behind it. The spirit is, again, the same thing. One, care for the poor. Two, honor the ministers of God. And three, don't worry about tomorrow. The law of tithing merged under the old covenant, all right, with the law of Sabbath. Sabbath, every seventh year, do you know God commanded Israel that they must not farm their land every seventh year? Every seventh day, you don't work. When I became a preacher, I told my wife, I told everybody around me, this is my law. That's why you don't find me here in December in Kingdom World. 4 consecutive weeks, I don't preach to anybody. It's my law. How did I find it? Because I found that the law of rest. Read my book, How to Work for God. There's a chapter there declared as I talk about the work of rest. I realized that resting, as far as God is concerned, is work. So there are times I go home to go and walk the work of rest. What does that mean? What does that mean? I lie down. I tell stories. I play. I oversleep, overeat, indulge myself. Anyhow, no discipline. He said, don't eat fat, eat 3 portions. Don't eat too much, you become fat, eat more. Just for a short period. How can you go December, you'll be watching your weight? I'm not the typical holiday type, but my brother, my sister, when is December? Holiday? At the chapel. If I get down to my in-laws' place, my mother will say, Banky, would you like to drink? Of course I would like to drink. Why did I come home? Why would I want to drink? Would you like to eat? Of course I want to eat. There's chicken there. Chop chicken, chop goat, just chop it. Just for December. I gain weight every December, 2 kg. The devil has not been able to stop it. Every December, I gain 2 kg. This has been consistent the last 10 years. Once it's December, I gain 2 kg. Because all I do is sleep, eat, wake up, eat again, sleep. Why do I learn that? From the law of God. Say, what if your customers want you in December? Better come back in January, otherwise you are not my customer. Because the Bible says, gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. These are the principles of Sabbath and tithing combined. So a man is supposed to be able to take. Do you know, people don't know what that tithing is in that the old covenant. They don't understand. People say it was before the law. Listen to me. Even if it was before the law, it was not a law until the law. So if it was before the law, then you can't preach it the way we preach it now. Because now we have made it a law. That if you don't give it, you will not prosper. That's a law. The way we preach it now is a law. Let's not lie to ourselves that it's not under the law. Listen, the one that Abraham did was not commanded. And there is no law, there is no evidence he did it a second time. Isaac never did it. Jacob did his own once. Just once in his whole life. The one we Christians preach today is a law. Even if tithing was before the law, it was not a law until under the law. And after the law, it ceases to be a law. What am I saying? But there's a divine character. That's what I'm explaining. There's a divine character behind it. And that divine character says, come on, what is in your money? Count it and give to those people who need it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Like I tell you, it's the same principle of Sabbath. You rest. I was talking about the rest. Under that law, one of the commandments, the main commandment of tithing was not even to give to anybody. It was to eat. Every year after harvest, you calculated 10% of your income for that year and you spend it in a week of party. Most pastors don't want to hear that. Please, go and read my book, Grace to Prosper. In it, I explained that the New Testament tither is the cheerful giver. The other day, my brethren were doing something. I told you that, okay, I mentioned it last time, that some of them came together and said they wanted to buy 5,000 copies of Choices, Key to Destiny, because they have read the book and said this is the message that young people need, especially in senior secondary schools. So we came to an agreement on how to make sure the price is, we talked to the printer. We came to an agreement to make the price as low as possible. We said, brethren, let's just pay for printing. You're not paying the publisher anything. You're not paying the author anything. Just pay for printing. Then all of us, including me, began to gather the money. Because one of them said, should they tell brethren? I said, yes. Tell brethren now. This is the kind of thing. We have a child group that has about 100 people. I said, tell the brethren. As soon as brethren heard, initially the response was poor. I put in my word. I said, guys, this is a good work. Someone said, okay, I buy 1,000. I buy 500. I buy 700. As I yesterday, people had paid off for over 5,000. As I yesterday. Is it their tithe? Who cares? Whether it's your tithe or your lose, I don't know. Just make sure we print these books. And these young men are planning to give out the books free. They plan to go to schools and tell somebody, you need to know God. Go and read this. You need to know God. Go and read this. And that money is coming from their pockets. There was one preacher once I heard he was not preaching in peace because he didn't have a car. One of our brothers said, share this car is the reason why you are not obeying God. Come and take. He took his money, packaged it, bought a car, said, now share you can preach and stop complaining. That's a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver is a New Testament tither. Listen to me, I'm not a child in this thing. I have settled down to study that tithing business since 1987. Some of you were not born that time. I have heard testimonies of credible men. They said, this is not how Christians are supposed to give. Watchman Nee said it. David Pawson said it. Many of them said, this is not Christian giving. Then we twisted it and said that it belongs to your local church. It is not in the Bible. It's an invention of modern day Christianity. If you like it like that, it's not against the law of God. Are you getting my point? It's the way you like it. When they said to me that, you see, your tithe belongs to your local church because that is from where you were fed. I said, who says so? You don't understand the character of God. If you understood it, you wouldn't talk like that. Because in the scriptures, those who gave to the storehouse did not take from it. Your qualification for taking from the storehouse is that you cannot give to it. The storehouse was, go and read my book, please. I don't have time to teach this whole thing. It's there in my book, Grace to Prosper. That book has caused quarrel everywhere. Because pastors won't settle down to read it. If you settle down to read it, you will know that Christians, if you release them, we are starting broadcasting in Futa Radio, Ondo State, that's Akure. Next month, we are starting. Now, what is the story about it? A man called Yinka and paid for 1 year and said, come and put it here. A whole year. You don't know what Listen, leave Christians, let them relax. Don't put them under pressure. The grace of Christ, Oh God, when you let it be free, when you allow it to be free, when you allow it to be free, you know what Christians can do. The logic we use is that the storehouse is what Malachi said is your storehouse. So where's your storehouse? Is your store not where you keep your yam and you go and take from it? Is it not where you keep your rice and go and take from it? So the storehouse is where you get your spiritual nourishment. I said that is upside down reasoning. Because in the scriptures, if you can put in the storehouse, you can't take from it. What is the storehouse? It's a place where those who do not have go to take. That is the storehouse of the Bible. Those who don't have, they go there to take. It is a place, it's a charity home. So if you want to use the Bible method for storehouse, storehouse is anywhere where charity is being done regularly. What am I trying to say? What do Christians do? Christians are cheerful people. We are cheerful givers. That's what we are. That's why we announce all the time that, look, this ministry runs on free will donations. People just give money. Yet we are not broke. We are not poor. At the end of this year, we'll be on like 7 or 8 radio stations running side by side. Someone said that, okay, Pastor Bank has money. I give money like everybody else. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. What am I explaining? That, you see, God has his character. He has his, what we call the spirit. Divine character is there. And then, when he wanted to make a covenant with Israel, he now wrote his divine character down as simple laws that they could keep. And the laws were not even very good. What I say very good now? They were not as good as divine character. The Lord wrote the laws in a very simple way. You know, the way you give children laws. You know, I was thinking about the other day. This is the difference between Christianity and the law. The law of Moses. In my house, the children have rules concerning television watching. Rules. They know. From Sunday night to Friday afternoon, there's no television in my house for children. In case you don't know, I have 3 televisions there of varying sizes. And the children walk by it every day. But they can't fall into the temptation. Their mother has written the rule clearly. Once there is school tomorrow, no television today. It's a very simple rule. Can you see it? In fact, sometimes I get home, I see the children watching TV. What are you both doing? They say, hey, tomorrow is public holiday. You know? They lastly remind me, tomorrow is public holiday. I said, oh. Now, this is the interesting part. Talking about the law. The adults, using 2 people especially in the house, their mother and me, we have no law about television. I can wake up at 2 a.m. on any day and watch TV. I can wake up in the morning, go to the sitting room, put on the TV, decide that there's no work today, and watch TV. Can you see that? Grace, Abby? Somebody say grace. Grace. But do you know, a whole week will pass, my wife won't sit down in front of the television for 10 minutes. There's no law saying she can't watch. A whole week will pass. The other day I said, I paid this cable TV, you know the way it is. I pay this for every month. Let me even go and watch news now. Days will pass. Don't remember. If you remember, you have work to do. If you don't have work to do, you have sleep to sleep. Because there's work to do tomorrow. Even though there is grace, there's freedom, there's liberty, maturity does not allow us to abuse it. I have work to do. Many of you here know what I do. I have to go to the hospital to work. I have to teach my students. I make my presentations at night for my lectures the next day. I don't have time sitting down there looking at the video. You know, I don't even watch football. Listen, the law is childhood. And you see, like, my children, as soon as once it's Friday, they're like, thank God it's Friday. As they are getting home, give me the remote. I got here first. They are changing the channel. Do you understand my point? Suddenly, we are free. Why? They are children. Those who like to sin, because there is no specific prohibition, they are children. Paul said, even if it is lawful, it may not be expedient. So when God wrote laws for the people of Israel, what the reality was, they were spiritual, tiny little babies. Everything had to be commanded. If you see your neighbor's animal in the pit, you must bring it out. How can you command an adult to do that? Why? Because the people were wicked. They will see their neighbor's animal in the pit. Good for him. He thinks he's richer than me. When his animal dies, will not be on the same level. But you know, a Christian won't do that. So God didn't bother to write that law for Christians. The spirit of all the laws of Moses, the spirit of all the laws of Moses were condensed into two statements. From the mouth of the Lord Jesus, he said, there are two of them. One is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, upon these two commandments hang what? All the law and the prophets. All. That whoever understands the law of love, which is the law of Christ, does not, now listen, it's not as if it's not under the law of Moses. He does not need the law of Moses. The law of Moses was a need for wicked people. What am I going to say? We're not under the law of Moses, yes, but we have a law called the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is not a commandment. The law of Christ is a nature. Did you hear what I said? They asked a man in America once, he wanted to divorce his wife. In fact, he was marrying another young woman. He had grown-up children. They're not children, they're not babies. Grown-up, you know, people. They had their own families. I was listening to one man of God, one of these famous American preachers, say, talk to the man. And the man made a statement. He said, why are you doing this? He said, the man said, I deserve to be happy. I'm going somewhere. He said, I deserve to be happy. And the man said, while being happy, you made up your mind to make everybody miserable. Your wife is going to become miserable. Your children. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? A man who loves, are you getting what I'm saying? If he loves the way God says we should love, that love of Christ in him does not even, they won't be arguing that, is it right to divorce your wife? Is it right? Do you understand? Why should he do that? He said, do you know the amount of misery I'm going to cause? He's not looking for an excuse to do something. He has enough excuses not to do it already. Listen, Christians don't need that law of Moses because they have the law of Christ working in their members. I don't need God to tell me that I shall not commit adultery. Lord, I'm happy you said it too. I'm very happy. That is, I'm glad. Okay? But whether I said it or not is besides the point. He has given me enough understanding of the problems that it causes. It removes your ability to live long. God. It brings evil into your house. Your children will go crazy. They will go to school and join cult. You won't know you caused your father's adultery. I'm telling you. Every man that tells your daughter, I love you, she will jump into bed with him. You say, why is this girl? Are you crazy? It is not her. God said, when your daughters commit harlotry, I won't punish them. Why? Because you men, you have gone after harlots. Look at my children. Look at my wife. I don't want to break any heart because of what? Look. See his name. What is his name? David. With all the love God had for that guy, the age of 70 was sick. 70 years. Ordinary 70 years. Moses did not enter ministry until 80 years. 85. Caleb took his sword and his spear and went to his friend, Joshua. He said, remember 45 years ago, Moses said, I can have this land. They called that place Kiriath Arba. Arba was the biggest, the strongest of the Anakim.